close. Nothing can compare. You are living hope. Your presence, Lord, yeah. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free. Fill the atmosphere, fill this home, Lord. Oh, your glory, God, is what our heart it longs for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Experience the glory of your presence. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place, fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for, to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let us be overcome, Jesus. Right now where we're sitting at, let us be overcome, Jesus. Right now where we're standing, let us be overcome by your presence, Jesus. Take the hurt away, Jesus. Take the pain away, Jesus. You are our answer, Lord. You are our answer, Jesus. Yeah, you are the answer. By a love I can't explain, and now you have me, and I'm forever changed. And I've abandoned everything I've ever known. Now I surrender my life and not my own. My life is not my own. To you I belong. I give myself away. Capture our hearts, Jesus, and our mind, in our spirit, in our soul. I can't explain, Jesus, the love you have for me. Goes back, way, way, way back on Calvary. Yeah, yeah. I belong to you, Jesus. I belong to you.
Wow. Wow. Works for me.
Yep. Works for all of us. Rory Comtois worshiping live in the studio this morning.
It is so powerful to have him here this morning. But, you know, he's so gifted and anointed. I mean, he could sing about anything. Like, if you just said, okay, make a song about bed bugs.
the bed bugs.
It would just be
Don't encourage
beautiful.
That.
Can you make a song about coffee?
That's
so beautiful.
That's
wow.
One of the great gifts, you know, God sets upon worship leaders, but especially Rory through so many years, I guess, I don't know, like 20 years, gosh, we've been friends. And you know, there's not a lot of artists out there that you could just sit at a piano and he would worship until God shows up, you know, mm-hmm. press in and make mm-hmm. a way. And I think that's the very heart of a worshiper. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think Rory embodies, one mm-hmm. of my absolute favorite worshipers.
Rory, there was a moment in your life, and you shared this with me when we went out to breakfast last time you were in. And I just have this picture of young people on that precipice of trying to make some big decisions in their lives. And you made a big decision when you were a teenager. Yeah. And we were talking about Burke Parsons last week, who had a very similar decision to make as a teen. Would you mind sharing that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, kind of grew up in a Christian home, just like a lot of us, and served the Lord, but I didn't really have a relationship with the Lord. I guess I just kind of went to church because my family went to church. And it wasn't till about 15 where I decided, Lord, I'm going to dedicate everything in my life to you, Jesus. And so I started doing worship and realized then, you know, I was called to lead worship and mm-hmm. minister to people, and man, what an honor and privilege it is just to be called and be chosen to usher in the presence of the Lord. It even feels weird to say that. I don't even mm-hmm. like saying that. It's like, gosh, can I help you? I don't think so. But you know, God gives us tools and talents and anointings and callings on our life to reach people. Mm. And so I began to worship and lead worship and minister. And I think around 21 or so, I received a call one day, and it was really a famous producer. I don't know if people know who he is now, but because I was talking to my son the other day, you know, and he's 14 now, 15, he just turned 15, Bryson did. And I was telling him, I said, you tell him about my testimony. He was like, who's NSYNC, Dad? Who's NSYNC? He's like, Backstreet Boys, who are they? What? Who's Britney Spears, you know, and all that. And but I was sitting in my room one day, and I got a phone call from a really well-known producer. His name is Johnny Wright, and he produces right now. He's Justin Timberlake's producer, Janet Jackson, Jonas Brothers, really all the top dogs, you mm-hmm. know, in the secular market and musical world. And called me when I was 21, and I went into a closet, and he said, "Can you sing for me?" And this is a song I sang, and I'll get back into the testimony, but I sang this. I said, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away. Lord, have your way in me. I didn't even realize what I was singing. And maybe it's the presence of God, it's anointing that even touched this man's life. When I was singing, the verse of this song says, it says, this is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Says all, everything I have within me longs to, I longs to give you, bring you praise. All that I adore is in you. And all those words, man, it's just like, it just speaks heaven, man. It just speaks honor in Jesus. And that everything we do is in Jesus. And I didn't even realize, and as I was sitting in that closet singing this to this man, that I didn't realize what I was singing.
Right.
And 3 days later, they flew me down to Orlando, Florida, where I sat with Johnny Wright and a couple other guys, Doug Brown, and these guys were like the guys that were in like CNC Music Factory, like back in the day. I don't know if you guys remember that.
Oh, yeah.
It was like everybody danced now.
Yep. That was going to be the background music for the show, but we decided it wasn't going
to
be this.
Roller skate to that. But these are the guys that, and these were some of the artists. Anyways, I sat down at a table with them and signed a 6-year record contract with them to sing and dance and just, you know, go out there and make it. And everybody they produced has just been, gosh, I mean, everybody. And I'm thankful that, you know, hopefully I can sing a little bit, but they might have to put a little auto-tune on me, but at the same time, I just, you know, I think I probably could have had a chance. And about 5 months into the record deal, where I had been going into some clubs and just tasting the world. I never did that. It wasn't something that I believed in, something that I even wanted. But when the door comes knocking, sometimes we test it.
Yeah.
And you know, I wanted the money. You know, I grew up in a poor family, wanted the finances, and wanted to have boats. And I just started, you know, think about all the material things that we think about, things that we desire even now as Christians. And I wanted that stuff so bad, and I was just like, man. So I took it. I took the bait and went. And through that 5-month time, you know, I'd been a couple clubs and different things and seen things that I'd never seen in my life. And in my spirit, in the innermost part of my life, my heart, there was a tearing going on and a ripping. And it felt like I was trying to maybe live on the fence. And I don't know about you, but I mean, that feeling right there, there's some people that are listening right now that are in that place.
That's right.
That they're living on the fence, and they're going, man, I can keep 1 foot in the world and 1 foot serving God. And man, there's no peace.
None.
There's no peace. There's just, you can't sleep at night. I mean, you just, stuff's going on in your mind all day long. You can't shut it off. It's almost like you have triple ADD. I mean, it's just like, you just can't focus. And and God is saying, man, give me everything.
That's right.
And I had to make a choice. One night I went to a church service in Orlando, Florida, and the Holy Spirit was moving on my life, man. I still worship him like crazy, like with everything, because that's what I believe we're supposed to do. When we praise God and worship God, we're supposed to bring everything to the table.
Hallelujah.
Sacrifice everything. And, you know, we come in looking good in our ties and all that, and God wants us to leave sweaty and ugly looking. You know?
I do that part well.
Because, you know, we come in trying to look good for all the people at church. Oh, yep. I'm going to look good today.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I'm going to look good in this suit. I'm going to put my best shoes on. And God's saying, I don't care about that stuff. I just want you to give everything to me. You know, just get dirty, lay on the floor, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Just come before me. I don't care about those material things.
Mm.
And I know I'm taking a long time with this.
No, this is powerful. This is something that I'm sure a lot of people are going through. You know, we've all been in the world, tempted by the world, continue to be tempted by the world.
Absolutely.
Need to hear these stories.
Yeah. And, you know, I think there's people, I guess just right now, man, because the Holy Ghost just prompted you to, you know, talk about this. And I don't even really ever talk about this testimony a lot. I don't talk about a lot of things in my past because I'm believing God for an awesome and greater future in Jesus' mm-hmm. name, you know. But these things really can minister to people. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, there's somebody out there today that's got decisions to make in their life. And you might be your breaking point and God's saying, come on, come on.
Mm.
Come on, just take that step. But you got to be all in.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be all in. You can't have one foot in the world and the other foot and you'll be split apart. I mean, you'll be messed up. And
all
I
in.
Want you to have peace and joy in your life and strength. If you're depressed, I want you to have joy in the Holy Ghost. And the night that I was, that everything changed for me, I was in a church service. The Holy Spirit was on me, man. I was crying, bawling before the Lord, just worshiping God with everything, man. In fact, I'm like one of those guys that I'll go into church and, man, it's like, I don't care what people think. I'm going to dance. You know, I'm gonna praise the Lord with everything. And I was doing that. And I looked up at the stage and I felt the Holy Spirit say, Rory, you're not supposed to be doing what you're doing. You weren't created for that.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what he said to me. He said, I want you to lead people into worship. Because here's the difference. This is what happens when you lead people to worship. All the glory goes to me and not you.
That's right. That's right.
And what I was doing in the world, it was like bringing glory to myself, you know, singing at the Hard Rock Cafe and getting ready to open up and travel with great groups and artists and, you know, and it means absolutely nothing, man. We don't have the presence of God and we're changing people's lives. And see, there's worshipers in the world, but they're not worshiping the right thing.
That's right. That's right.
They're worshiping their idols, but God wants us to lay down our idols and worship Him.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Rory Comtois just sharing his heart, sharing his story, sharing his testimony. I'm going to go get some tissues, and you lead us in worship, please.
Yeah, absolutely. Right before I do that, that night that I chose to make a different path and say, God, I give you everything. I said, Lord, I don't know how I can get out of this. This was a 6-year record contract that I'd signed, man. And it's almost like you sign it in blood when you do those things.
Yeah.
And I've heard most people haven't been able to get out of those things. I said, God, if you'll make a way tonight, I put a fleece before God. I don't know if we're really supposed to do that, but there's been a couple times in my life that I have because I've been so desperate where I've gone, God, I need you. And you're the only way that can help me. And you have the final say, God, you have the final say. And I said, God, you have to make a way where there seems to be no way. And I left church that night and went back to our manager's house. And during that time, I said, okay, God, if you put something in, I know it's a sign from you, I'm going to take that jump and I'm going to break this contract. And so something happened and I was able to, I felt it. I said, God, that's you. And so immediately I said, guys, you know, I can't be doing this. You know, there's been some things that I've done that I've never done, and I don't want to do that. I can't live. I've got to live for God. Mm-hmm. I told him straight. I said, I got to live for God, and I'm gonna live all the way. I'm like either going to heaven or to hell, and I'm choosing heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And so that night, I chose heaven, man, and left the next morning and never went back.
Mm-hmm.
And I tell you what, about 3 years, and this is what the devil does. When we make those decisions, as you make those decisions today, the devil's going to come to you, try to distract you, try to say, oh, you can go back. You can go back. And for about 3 years, I even had dreams at night and sometimes nightmares and things, you know, the enemy just trying to come in and get me to go back. And I just kept straight on that path, man, serving God and staying in the presence of God. The only thing that would give me peace was to sit down at the piano and just worship God. And so for you today, just, man, wherever you're at, man, just let the worship touch your heart today. Let the worship change your life. Let the presence of God just come in and invade your space today and just take over everything you have. He'll give you your dreams back. He'll give you the visions back that you've had that have been crushed so many times. God wants to restore that today in Jesus' name. He just wants to give you, he wants to give you everything. Just open your arms and just lift up your hands and surrender everything to him today. As a sign of surrender, just by lifting your hands and say, God, I give you everything. I give you my heart, my soul, my mind, my spirit. I give you the great things. I give you the not so great things that are in my life right now. I give you everything. Then we can sing this song together. It says, this is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Every moment I'm away, Lord, have your way in me. Have your way, oh God. Favorite songs. I'll sing it probably till I die. Hopefully that'll be around 100 or so, but it says, if not for grace, where would I be? And I think about my testimony and so many people's testimony and what you're walking through today. Where would we be today if it wasn't for amazing grace, God's grace on our lives? Saved the wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. And here's the words of the song. It says this. It says, where would I be? You only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love. I'd be a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace. Where would I be? Oh, you only know. I'm glad you see through eyes of love. I'd be a hopeless case, an empty place, if not for grace. And here's my testimony, it says this. I thank you for the things I cannot see. You've been a shelter, shelter in the storms of life, a shield surrounding me. Whoa, I thank you for the mercy you provided. In times of amazing grace, how case, an empty place, if not for grace. Gotta sing this verse again. It says, I thank you for the things I did not see. You've been a shelter in the storms of life. You're a shield surrounding me. Whoa. I thank you for all the mercy you provided. Even though you could have walked away, but you stayed a thousand times. Amazing grace. Empty place, if not for grace, I'd be a hopeless case. An empty place, if not for grace.
I believe the kids call it, I'm wrecked. I am wrecked.
Undone.
Undone.
Power is powerful.
Wow.
You know what's funny is, as you go back, I know Tim was back in those days too, around the whole Gainesville worship scene, and you know, he shared just a short part of it there, but if you go back and look at all those years with Rory, it was as if, you know, you could see from the very early days mm-hmm. what an anointing he had, mm-hmm. but it was like success would always come up right close enough to smell and just get yanked away. And I just remember how it drove him crazy, you know, because, you know, when God's got a great plan for you. And, you know, I was just thinking as he was sharing that testimony, I remember back in those days, so many of us were praying for him when he was sharing, I'm going to Florida. We're going, don't do it. And, but you know what? I guess what stepped in my mind as he was sharing was, you know, he had to do that because it really was going to be such a significant part of his testimony, his story, and what shaped him to for God to encounter him. And I was just thinking, I know there's so many people that you're watching someone that you just love, and they're just, you know, just in the wrong place, wrong time, and you're just thinking, you know, if I could just get them unstuck from stupid, it would be so good. But, you know, God holds them. It's just like, you know, it's a little, he comes to the field. He doesn't let them go and just go crazy. He has a point and a purpose. And sometimes he holds us in those moments in preparation because he knows the kind of anointing we're going to carry later on. And so, my goodness. Mm.
It's like those times he gives us over to our own desires just so we can see that they don't satisfy.
Right. Mm. Rory, thank you so much for sharing that. I didn't set you up for it. I just kind of threw it out there.
Which one are you talking about?
just that powerful story.
Well, you know, when we talk about this whole season, I mean, obviously, God puts all these things together, and so that fits very well with what we're talking about today. Is because some of you really, this the whole point of you even tuning in. Maybe you're not even a regular listener, and the whole point of you tuning in was God was. This is that moment where God wants to just grab a hold of you, and this season of Elul. This begins it today is the first day of Elul. Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. It's a time to be nurtured, to allow God to fix what has been broken and to nurture us back to a place of health and prosperity. And you know that story. I mean, obviously, he's just giving you the highlights of the story. But that was nurturing. God was nurturing him. He didn't cut him loose mm-hmm. and just say, okay, you want your way? Fine. Mm-hmm. He didn't do that. He was nurturing him the whole time. And there are some things that have been recorded in our own, in our life history, that are just incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
Because God has come and he has dealt with them, right? And there's accusations and there's condemnations that have to be removed and mistakes that need to be reconciled. And God wants to rewrite our story and change the way we see it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we, and I'm pretty sure Tim can relate too, you know, we couldn't see this part of the story back then. We could only see, well, are you crazy out of your mind? Because we could see all that gifting and anointing and thinking the last place this needs to go is to the world. You know? Mm-hmm. And so God, there may be parts in your story that God just wants to rewrite. And it's, and in a literal way, this season, this month of Elul, it's all about Moses. And because remember, well, what would it be? 80 days ago, 40 days ago, you know, Moses went up to the mountain, received the Ten Commandments, came down, they were worshiping around the golden calf, which is kind of an ironic story that goes with that one. And he smashes the Ten Commandments, right? Mm-hmm. And then he has to judge and deal with the people. And then he goes back up to Mount Sinai for 40 days to intercede for the Israelites. And he comes back down to the camp. He didn't get to eat it all, so he can so relate to where David's at with all the sweets right now. He's doing the Moses. But he comes back to the camp, and one day later, which would be today, on Elul, for the first of Elul, God calls him back to the mountain to receive the second copy of the Ten Commandments. So, in other words, he's rewriting the story. He goes back, just because you, it's broken to pieces doesn't mean it's over. And this day is kind of that celebration. And he comes down as you go 40 days from now, he'll come down the mountain with the second copy of the Ten Commandments. And this was a whole new story, a whole new time, and a whole new life. So this 30 days of Elul, the 10 days of Tishri that get you to Yom Kippur, those 40 days are the time when Moses was on the mountain. And so, you know, as we get to next month into the new year, that first day of creation where God is going to say, let there be light. He is going to show you things that you've never seen before. There's a birth coming in our lives. And that's what this celebration is to get us to there. And this season is called Teshuva. And a lot of times that's kind of translated as repentance, but it's not really that, because he, in Rory's case, it wasn't really repentance, wasn't what he needed. He needed to turn back to God.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what that's about. He his face wasn't towards God. He was looking somewhere else. And generally what Teshuvah, this whole little season is turning back to God, because the minute you do, you're repenting. Mm-hmm. You're turning away from the things that you were after, the things that you were running after, and suddenly God steps in. And when we do it with all our heart and soul and strength, our direction changes, our destiny changes, it all changes.
You know, as you were sharing that, Ray, it just immediately struck me that second time Moses went up to the mountaintop to get the commandments, it was like, for the second time, it was like that promise of restoration.
Yeah.
And as you were saying, it started, you know, in this time frame, in this Hebrew season, it is also the creation of with the light, and when he spoke light. And when you're talking about turning our faces back towards God, it's like when Moses came down from the mountain, he was face to face with God, and he came down with his face so enlightened. It was glowing. You know, and I just think, man, when we are face to face with the presence of God, there is a light that breaks through any and all darkness.
Because, you know, Rosh Hashanah is a celebration, it's a creation of man, all right? Mm. So you have in the midst of this Elul, the creation of light and all the days of creation, right? So think about what you just said there is, when you encounter God, he restores that thing that was lost in the garden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when the holiness or the anointing of mm-hmm. God stepped away and we walked into death. While he was up on that mountain, that was occurring. And when he came down for Yom Kippur, he brought something new. And we are restored. It's a wonderful season of restoration. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't care how messed up you are, this is the season for your restoration.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You're listening to a very special Risenstein here at Victory 91.5. Rory Comtois leading worship. He'll be leading worship at the church at War Hill on Sunday morning in Dawsonville. And then he'll be in Oakwood at Covenant Connection on Sunday night for an evening of worship. It could go an hour. It could go 3 days. you never know. And then
pack a snack.
And then it's off to Israel for him in September, where he'll be leading worship at the Feast of Tabernacles. We are 25 days away from leaving for Israel, and this is just a wonderful way to kick it off. It's Victory 91.5.
Suwanee Dental Care.